to order. This is the Legislative Council meeting. Today is March 17th, 2021. We are in House Finance Room 519. Kelsey Riker is on teleconference assisting us. We do have three members of the committee on teleconference. Ms. Kiesel, can you call the roll, please? Excuse me, it was 5:04 p.m. It's reminded by the speaker. Ms. Kiesel.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Can you hear through the...
We need you louder.
Okay. Is any better?
Not much.
Not much. We'll start with Representative Clayman.
Here.
Representative Edgman.
Here.
Representative Foster.
Here. Not much.
Speaker Stutes.
Here.
Representative Tilton.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Present.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senate President Michicki. Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Hughes. Senator Schauer.
Here.
Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
13 members present.
Thank you. The first order of business is approval of the agenda. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Hearing no objection, we've approved the agenda. Our first item is not an action item, but I'm going to announce that we are establishing the Information Technology Subcommittee. The committee will be chaired by Tim Banaszak, the Information Technology Manager for the Legislative Affairs Agency. That committee can be populated by members of this committee or your designated staff. If you would like to serve or have your staff serve on that committee, I ask you to contact my Chief of Staff, Tim Clark, by next Wednesday, March 24th, and you will be added and populate the IT Subcommittee. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was just wanting to know if we could just have a little bit of information about what the outcomes are that you are looking for coming from the IT Subcommittee.
I'm going to ask Tim Banaszak, who is online, to address that. Mr. Banaszak.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Tim Banaszak, the IT manager for the legislature. Through the chair, Representative Tilton, the outcomes of the IT subcommittee are that it serves as a IT advisory group to recommendations that go to the full council for projects, any of the IT operations that would impact the legislature. It provides sort of a advisory ad hoc sort of group that can meet together, vet technologies, proposals, and things that are internal to the legislature. And then when they go to the full body, the full council can know that there's been some visibility on that. So hopefully that helps through the chair, Representative Tilton.
Any other questions, Representative Tilton? Any other members have questions about the IT subcommittee? I see none, so we're going to move on. The next item is approval of the minutes from the Legislative Council meeting of January 18th, 2021. Senator Reinbold.
So I'm going to make a motion. I will believe there will be an objection to this. I have let her know ahead of time because there's some confusion. And so with that, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the minutes dated January 18th, 2021 as presented.
And is there an objection?
I'll object.
Speak to your objection.
So on page 57, there was amendments to the mask policy, And I can tell you that it's created quite a bit of confusion.
Senator, I'm going to take a brief at ease. I'm going to speak to the minute. Back into session.
Okay, for clarification, policies, Madam Chair, I would like someone to come forth that is understanding of the policy. There's confusion in the workplace. I was told to leave a subcommittee room that I didn't know there was
Senator,
different policies.
I'm going to rule you out of order.
Madam Chair, I would definitely like some clarification. I understand we're approving the minutes now. I wanted clarification. I'm not able to get that clarification, so I'm asking as soon as possible, we need to clarify the mask policies and the screening policies, and I would like that to be an urgent order of business as soon as possible. And I'm talking in particular on page 57. I'm not sure if Senator or Representative Tilton had any comments in regards
point
to
point of order, Madam Chair.
Speak your point.
I believe we're talking about whether or not we're going to approve the minutes, not whether or not anyone agrees or disagrees with the policy.
Correct.
Madam Chair.
I saw Senator Tilton first. There is a motion before us to approve the minutes. Excuse me, I said Senator Tilton, it's Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that there is some issues regarding the mask policy and the screening policy. We do recognize that this is to have approval of the minutes at this time, but would respectfully request that we have a conversation added to the agenda of the mask policy.
There's a motion on the floor to approve the minutes. Anyone speaking else would like to speak to the motion? Senator Michicki.
I was merely asking for clarification if there was in fact a motion on the floor.
There is a motion to approve the minutes. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If there's an objection to adoption of the minutes, I'd like to know where in the minutes the transcriber made an error. If not, we should adopt the minutes as presented. And in retrospect, Madam Chairman, later on, if you find that the there's a transcribing error, the committee could revisit it and rescind its action and adopt a corrected version. Other than that, we should adopt the minutes and move on.
Any other on the motion to adopt the minutes? Approve the minutes.
Before I remove my objection, I just don't want the hands of a previous legislature binding our hands. And with that, I will remove my objection.
Senator Stevens.
Madam Chair, I know what I want to speak to is not the minutes, but about the policy of legislative council. Can I speak sort of out of order?
How about if we approve the minutes and then I come to recognize you?
Thank you.
And before I, is there any further objection to approval of the minutes of January 18th? They're approved. I do want to put on the record that Senator Hughes is watching online. She is an alternate member from the Senate side. All senators on Ledge Council are present, so she is watching from her office. Senator Stevens.
So just want to point out that the Legislative Council approves policies every session, every year. Those policies continue until they're changed. So just to Senator Reinbold's question, the simple remedy to this is to change the policy, if that is what this group wants to do, not to deal with the minutes. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Reinbold.
Thank you. So because we are a new legislature, I thank you for your comments. I do have respect for Senator Stevens, so thank you. However, I'm very concerned about forced mask use. We are a new legislative session. I am concerned.
I'm going to rule you out of order, Senator. Dedman?
Yeah, Madam Chairman, I would respectfully comment that we need to stick to the agenda. We have an adopted agenda. We need to move through it.
I would like to get something on record, Madam Chair.
Senator, I'll let you speak one more time without knowing what you're going to say, but I think you're understanding. I'm going to rule you out or out of order if we're not on the agenda.
Well, I will tell you there's liability issues, and I think that it's very important to discuss a liability.
Senator Reinbold, I'm going to make those out of order. The next item on our agenda is to take up the 2021 Manual of Legislative Drafting. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion?
I move that the Legislative Council approve the 2021 Manual of Legislative Drafting.
This is open. I'm going to object for purposes of discussion and ask Megan Wallace and Hillary Martin to come to the table and present the Manual of Legislative Drafting and take questions. And I assume, is Hillary online with us, or is it just you and I am?
I'm here, and Hillary should be online if she's not caught up in other business.
Ms. Wallace, will you go ahead and put yourself on the record and tell us about the Manual of Legislative Drafting before we take any questions? And Hillary Martin is online, so we'll have Kelsey open that up in case there are questions for Hillary.
Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the Council. My name is Megan Wallace. I'm the Legal Services Director. You should have a memo in your packet dated February 18th, 2021 from our reviser of statutes, Hillary Martin, outlining the changes that were made in the 2021 version of the Manual of Legislative Drafting. Uniform Rule 10 provides that Legislative Council shall adopt a drafting manual prepared by the Enrolling Secretary, who is Laura Brown, our legal editor in Legal Services, and the reviser of statutes, who is Hillary Martin. So each year every 2 years during the interim, the reviser of statutes and our enrolling secretary, our legal editor, go through the drafting manual and make revisions or updates as is appropriate. And so the memo from Hillary Martin outlines all the changes that were made from the 2019 version of the drafting manual to the 2021 version. And so the 2019 version was this beige colored drafting manual. And if you adopt the 2021 version that is before you, once it's approved, it'll go to the print shop and you'll get blue copies for this legislature. And so our office works in conjunction with the Chief Clerk and Senate Secretary to also identify any potential updates or changes that are necessary. The changes this year are relatively minor and are not significant. Each of those are outlined in the memo before you. Hillary is available if you have specific questions about those changes, and I'm here also available for questions if you have any.
Members of the, Ms. Martin, did you have any statement you wanted to make or just answering questions?
No, this is the Hillary Martin, the Reiser statutes. I'm just here if the committee has any questions about the changes to the drafting manual.
Thank you. Any members of the committee have questions about the drafting manual? Any of the members who are online have questions about the drafting manual? I see no questions. I see no objections, so we are ready for a roll call vote on acceptance on the 2021 legislative drafting manual. Ms. Kiesel, please take the roll call vote.
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
14 yeas, zero nays.
The legislative drafting manual can go to the print shop. Look for your blue copy soon. All right, that brings us to our next action. Our next item, it is not an item that requires a motion. It is the FY20 legislative audit. And Jessica Geary, Executive Director of Ledge Affairs, is here to present and answer your questions on that audit.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jessica Geary, Executive Director of Legislative Affairs. You should all have a copy of the audit in your packet. By statute, every year the legislature has an independent audit. Our current auditors are LG Rayfield. What they have issued for FY20 is a clean audit with no exceptions. And before Budget and Audit Committee and Legislative Council, we give copies of the management letter and a schedule of appropriations, expenditures, and encumbrances. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Members of the committee, any questions on the audit? Any of the members online, questions about the audit?
No question.
Is that Representative Foster or Representative Tuck?
Oh, just Rep. Foster, no question.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I'm saying no, we have no question.
Oh, you have no question. Okay, thank you. All right, seeing no questions from members, thank you for presenting such a clean audit. All right. The next item is an action item. That is the FY22 Legislative Council budget. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion?
First of all, I've got a question. Are we going to be discussing this budget?
The budget is before us for discussion.
Okay, so just to be clear, it says, I move that the Legislative Council per AS 2420-130 approve the FY22 Legislative Council proposed budget and transmit it to the House and the Senate committees for the review and action.
Object. For purposes of discussion.
Thank you. Would you like to speak to your objection initially, or would you like to have Ms. Geary present the budget?
Just really briefly, we haven't had a opportunity to discuss the budget as a council. My question is, are we approving the budget itself, or are we just approving the budget for transmittal to the Finance Committee?
Ms. Geary.
That's the clarification I'd asked for.
Through the chair, Representative Tilton, we're approving the transmittal to the finance committees.
Thank you.
So for members in the back or people online, the budgets will go through the full legislative finance committees for review, scrutiny, etc.
with that, I have a point of clarification.
Senator Reinbold.
What the motion says that was given to me, it says that the Legislative Council approve the budget and transmit it. So there's an and here. And so maybe we should cross off the approve there in the motion. So we're not technically approving the budget.
I'm taking at ease.
We need to just have you go through the budget. I would like to ask a question. Is anything Beacon contract in here in the budget?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, no. Okay.
Through the chair?
Go ahead.
Can you go through the budget at a high level just so the people listening and those sitting in the room that may not have this paperwork? Director Geary?
Go ahead.
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, that is my intention.
Geary.
Okay. All right. I'm already on the record, so I won't do that again. Before members is the Legislative Council FY22 proposed budget and sectional narrative that explains each appropriation and allocation in the budget. In preparing this budget, I work with the presiding officers, the rules chairs, and the Legislative Council chair. I have also met with the finance co-chairs or their staff. There are two appropriations in the Legislative Council request. There's a Legislative Council appropriation, which includes the administrative functions of the legislature, as well as special committees and offices such as Ethics, Ombudsman, and Office of Victims' Rights. There is also the Legislative Operating Budget appropriation, which includes those functions directly connected to the operations of the legislature, such as session expenses, House and Senate operating, and legislators' salaries and allowances. And you should all have before you, in addition to the actual Legislative Council budget request, there's a narrative that walks through each and every one of these allocations. And I did not intend to read the whole thing out loud because you all have them in your packet, but I'm happy to answer any questions once I get through my little script here. So as you may know, the budget before council is not the legislature's full budget request. There's a third appropriation for the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, which contains allocations for the Division of Legislative Audit, the Legislative Finance Division, and the House and Senate Finance Committees, as well as the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. This portion of the legislature's budget does not come before Legislative Council and is transmitted directly to the Finance Committees. The total request for the legislature is included in the overview tab at the front of the budget book. And it's page four, and it's really the only place you get to see the entire legislature budget. There are no increments in the FY22 request, and each appropriation, FY21 management plan equals FY22 governor's figures, which equals FY22 legislative request. One item of note, state facilities rent has an estimated surplus of $42,000 realized from savings of renegotiated and consolidated lease space. However, we have had some requests for district office space in both Tok and Utyavik that is, if approved, would use most, if not all, of the surplus. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions from members.
Senator Stedman.
Yes, Madam Chairman. I just, you know, one little concern that you know, we have in here. I think we do our budget for a 90-day session. A lot of it, and clearly we don't make that very often. Last year was kind of an anomaly. This year, I doubt very much if we're going to be out 90 days. I'm lucky to get out in 120 days. So I think that's something the full Finance Committee should take a look at and have some discussion on.
Other members of the committee? Senator Reinbold?
Thank you. I would like to ask, under where, what purview does the Beacon contract, if it's not under Ledge Council, where does the Beacon contract fall?
Great question. Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, this is our legislative operating budget, so the Beacon contract is a separate contract outside of our regular operating funds, and it will be funded by federal funds. So right now it's being held in a capital appropriation, which we will refund once we receive our CARES Act funding.
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
So through the capital budget on legislative council?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, it is not in a budget. We used existing capital funds to pay for the Beacon contract, which will be submitted for reimbursement through federal CARES Act money.
Through the chair.
Go ahead, Senator.
So this is part of last year's capital budget, this year's capital budget. I mean, I don't recall discussing this Beacon contract in the budget process.
So through the chair, Senator Reinbold, it wasn't a specific budget item through the budget process. What we used was existing capital funds that were lapsed funds from a prior fiscal year, unspent funds. So it wasn't new money that was used. It was existing funds.
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
When did this process happen, that the Beacon contract was approved through the capital budget, and what purview did that happen?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, we are moving on to the Beacon contract next, so that might be a good place to discuss the initial contract and the amendment that we have before the committee today.
Fine.
Any other questions about the legislative operating budget? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Geary, briefly, I didn't hear I wasn't clear on the excess funds for like the TOC LIO. What was the number for the TOC LIO that it would cost us for a year's worth of rent, if you will?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, we are just now trying to get information. I think the estimate that we've received, just kind of preliminary estimate we've received, was just under $10,000. We have not acted on that we're just right now exploring options.
Thank you very much. That's an important LIO for my district.
Can I clarify, is it the LIO already exists? We are adding a district office for a member there.
Thank you for the clarification, Chair Hannon. That is correct. The LIO is not a topic for discussion. This is additional district space. There is not space within the existing LIO to hold a legislator.
Senator Bishop, did you have a follow-up on that?
No, I'll get in trouble. I'll just be quiet.
Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two things, Jessica. One, is there any COVID funding that came in that was anywhere put into the budget that we used throughout the legislature or the legislative budget? Because there's a lot of CARES money came in, and trying to track where it all went gets a little problematic. Second part is, I know that, like, for example, the Wasilla LIO, pretty big office area, and it's essentially been shut down for a year. Have there been any, investigations or audit is not the right word, but looking at how costs were reduced because many things did not stay open, so we're spending the same amount of money, but were there areas where we had cost savings that have not been accounted for, and has anybody looked at that?
Through the chair, Senator Schauer, the first answer to your question is, aside from the money that's been approved for the Beacon contract, we have not received any other federal CARES Act money. We have not submitted for reimbursement. And we have also not done an analysis because, as you mentioned, our costs are the same regardless of if the MATSU LIO is occupied or if people are teleworking. We still have the same expenses for our lease costs. So if there's a more detailed analysis that you would like done, I'm happy to entertain that.
Were you going to make a motion to close the Wasilla LIO?
Nope, not exactly, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Senator.
I think I'd get in big trouble from 8 other legislators if I did that. Just a quick follow-up to that, then. I would ask, Jessica, if we could maybe see, because I understand that we have fixed costs of employees and leases and other things, but a lot of the buildings were shut down from, a perspective of, what electricity costs or gas costs and other things. And while it may not be much, obviously every penny we save is important. So I would just like to know, did our cost actually stay the same because we had so many people teleworking? Were we able to save a little bit of money here and there? Because again, it, like I said, it may be small, but I'm just curious if it's something we investigated. And like I said, I can go to our LAO in Wasilla and there's just, it's just dark. There's nobody there. So just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions about our budget?
Just like to.
Senator Reinbold.
I'd just like to make sure that for clarity, restate the motion. It's I move that the Legislative Council per AS 2420.130 transmit the fiscal year 22 legislative proposed budget to the House and Finance Committee for the review and action.
Could you amend that to include the word Senate? You said the House.
House and Senate.
Thank you. Is there any objection to the motion remaining? Senator Steadman.
Can you repeat that motion if it's different from what was originally put together at the beginning of the meeting so we fully understand what it is?
Could you repeat that, Senator Reinbold?
I move that the Legislative Council per AS 2420.130 transmit the fiscal year 22 Legislative Council proposed budget to the House and Senate Finance Committees for the review and action.
It is not the same motion. So she asked for that. So
that's why I needed clarity.
Let me take an at ease. Gary.
Yes. Chair Hannon, so the way the motion's read, or that part doesn't matter as much, but since the motion's already been read, we have to vote to amend the motion if you want to use the new motion. But as far as if it has the word approve or transmit, that's not really relevant. The statute just requires that Ledge Council submit a budget to the Finance Committees.
Okay, and with that, Chair Hannon? Chair Hannon, I move that the word approve taken out since we have not had a thorough opportunity. And and for clarity, they said we weren't approving it, that we were just transmitting
so
it.
If you need to make your motion by stating what you want done, and then I'll ask you to elaborate.
Okay.
So your motion is to?
I move that the Legislative Council.
Your amendment is?
To I understand, remove to remove the word approve. I move to word the, move, remove the word approve.
All right, so we have an amendment to the motion.
Object.
Is there objection?
I object.
Okay, would you like to speak to your amendment, or your motion, your objection?
My objection? I think it's just fine the way it is. Let's just do it and move forward.
Senator Steadman?
Madam Chairman, I would agree with the speaker. I think past practices, this committee's always approved and forwarded on to the Finance Committees for review. And I think we should continue to do that. Approve it, send it on to the Finance Committees for review. Finance Committees will do what Finance Committees do, and then we'll sort it out in conference.
And with
anyone else speaking on the amendment, you'll get the last comment.
Madam Chair.
Senator Edge, or Representative Edgeman.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've been on Ledge Council now for a few years, and the motion is, it's in some respects, formality that no matter how we'd word it, would still produce the same results.
Anyone else? Senator Reinbold.
Thank you. I'll withdraw the amendment to the motion because I haven't been on this since 2015. So a lot of it is clarity for me, and I was just under the impression that we weren't approving it, and I was just trying to get it proper on the record. So I will remove my amendment.
So are we ready for a roll call vote on the motion to approve and transmit to the House and Senate Finance Committees the FY22 budget? Ms. Kiesel, please call the roll.
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stoops.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Michicki.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Steadman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
So we have approved and transmitted to the Finance Committees for their full review. All right.
Madam
Chair. Yes, Senator.
Now that we're done. done with that, I have a question. Just
Senator, I've called on you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just based on Senator Stebman's comments and not having been on this council before, I just want to clarify the normal process from what I'm used to is we would ask questions of Jessica, for example, say, can I get a clarification? And it would normally be sent on, he said, in normal practice to the budget committees, the subcommittees will do their thing. Is this handled differently where I would not ask that question to have that clarification from her, or is that still something we would normally do and get that product back? So I guess I'm asking a little bit for a procedural. I can certainly ask that in subcommittees and others, but I had asked for that question for her, so is that something that would normally happen here?
You know what, I would like to ask Senator Stevens to tell me the usual process before we go to the finance co-chairs.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I think usual process is exactly as has been stated. We are indicating to the finance committees that we have looked at this budget and we have approved it, and we are sending it on for them to or transmitting it to them to deal with it as they will.
Madam Speaker, or Madam Chair.
Follow-up.
Almost got the speaker. Sorry, Senator Stevens. No, I understand that. I just want to clarify though. If I ask for a product so I could look at something continuing, is that accepted inside the committee here? Is that something that we would not normally do? Because if she had some comments on the legislative budget, like the LIOs, is that okay to do that here, I guess, is my question, or somewhere else?
Through the chair, certainly. Absolutely, you can bring up any issue you want and have it asked at this table and have it answered.
Thank you.
Senator Steve Stedman, would you like to address how you're going to deal with
it? Yes, Madam Chairman. Yeah, we could have a discussion of the budget. But what we're getting hung up here is modifying motions and turning the, you know, the issue in front of us was the budget. All committee members, in fact, all legislators can interact on the legislative council budget. We represent the other legislators that are on the committee. We're it's perfectly fine to ask questions on the budget. And it's, they're not secret documents in any way, shape, or form.
Senator Machicki.
Yeah, thank you. Just to touch on that as well, it's kind of been covered, but I've been involved in fairly lively discussions at this table for Ledge Council. It's perfectly appropriate. In fact, I've seen much longer discussions that got into some details because there's been some issues that have come up in the Ledge Council budget. So you make the motion, you ask anything you want to ask, and then you vote whether or not you're going to move it forward. And if you're not in support, that's okay too. But there's nothing that isn't available for appropriate questions in this committee ever.
Understood, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure for clarity that asking for products here like we would normally do is acceptable and it's not handled slightly differently. That's all I was asking, just for clarification. Thank you.
All right. We have a couple more action items on the agenda tonight. The first is an amendment to we have two motions. The first is to amend the Beacon OHSS contract. One is to increase the available funds, and another is to address the vaccination services. Senator Machicki, do you have a motion?
Brief it is.
Yes. Back on the record, Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve an amendment to the Beacon OHSS contract to extend the termination date to June 30, 2021, and to increase the original amount of the contract by $1.5 million, with the intent that federal receipts cover the cost of the contract to the greatest extent possible.
And I'll object.
Would you like to speak to your objection?
I would. I believe that as employers, if we are employers versus the elected officials, it's really important to identify that. But I know that there are people in the room that are technically employees. There's serious liability as it relates to employers and employees. I want to get this on record to ensure that we are not held liable as legislative council and as leaders of the building setting policies, that it's very important that we either release ourselves from liability of any harm caused by these policies, or we go into great detail of the impacts of these policies. I'm concerned about constitutional violations. I'm concerned about forced masks. I'm concerned about facial recognition and violations to constitutional rights. The PCRs and vaccines are under emergency use and cannot be mandated. And so people are basically being voluntold that they have to in regards to the masks, there we have to do it. In regards to quarantine and isolation, there's concerns with the policy in regards to state law and constitutional rights. So before I can, in good conscience, approve any of this, I believe we need a thorough discussion in regards to these policies.
What is before us today is an expansion of the contract, not the policies. I'm more than willing to have Megan Wallace, our attorney, come to the table if you thought she should address the liability question. Otherwise, Amanda Johnson from Beacon is here to address the contract itself. Amanda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As noted in the overview letter, in conjunction with Jessica Gurry.
Please state your name for the record.
Right, for the record, Amanda Johnson, Beacon OHSS. Apologize. Is that the scope of the contract has changed, as well as the mitigation plans based on some recent outbreaks. So testing strategies have changed slightly, increasing the level of staffing as well as the amount of testing. That's really the primary intent and the reason for the change in budgetary dollars. We have put forth the forecast as it relates to the term of this session, any extension that would accompany this session, and therefore the requested extension as well as dollars to cover the maximum $3 million, which is an additional 1.5 from current contract.
Questions for Ms. Johnson? Ms. Geary, did you have anything to add? Oh, Kathy does. Representative Tilton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Johnson, just in regards to the changes to the contract, where I'm just not aware of how those changes took place. Is it something that happened through the Legislative Council? Or I'm not completely familiar with the contract, so forgive me, that changes were just able to be made based on conversation. Just can you please go through what was the authority to allow changes to the contract?
I can take. So through the chair, Representative Tilton, when we initially reached out and issued the RFP for these services, we had a different testing strategy in mind, but we also recognized that we were not experts in the field of COVID mitigation, which is why we looked to hire someone. And it was recommended that in a congregate setting such as the Capitol, that cycle testing was the most effective way to control outbreaks. And so the testing really makes up a very large amount of the budget. And as you can see from the forecast that was sent out, there's been over 6,000 tests conducted. And so I think to answer your question about the authority given in the contract, we kind of left it up to the health experts in consultation with the CDC and then public health. So things were left somewhat flexible just in the way to best control any outbreak within the Capitol.
Follow up?
No, thank you on that.
Members of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we had a discussion about this and I understand we're not talking policy. I get that. This is about the budget and extending it. The problem I have with this right now is that I'm being asked, it's kind of the cart before the horse to me, I'm being asked to approve a budget extension over policies that I haven't had a chance to have input into yet. I haven't had a chance to discuss them. I haven't had a chance to ask questions. I haven't asked a chance to see if we can perhaps modify them that some may want to do. And like I said, I'm not going to talk policy because I know that's not what we're doing. But this is a budget extension. And so to me, this would be like approving a budget for a bill we haven't passed yet. So it's harder for me to want to do that, Madam Chair, which is why I'm just trying to put it out there that this is a difficult thing for me to vote on a budget extension without having had any input into the process of what we are paying for. That's something that is a very hard road for me as a legislator to do, because that's backwards from what we normally do. We pass bills and then we appropriate for them. So I'll tell you right now, this is something that I'm gonna have a hard time trying to get past. I know, Jessica, you had your hand up. Thanks, Madam Chair.
I just, through the chair, Senator Schauer, I just wanted to comment on that slightly, and that the policies were written also in a way that that as soon as CDC and public health guidelines loosen up, then our policies are flexible, and the same will happen with them. So I think that's really why we're looking to the health experts to advise us, so we're not taking advice from multiple different people with different ideas on how things should be done. So really that's where we take our direction. And the second the CDC says we can loosen up restrictions and guidelines, we're going to be all over that if this committee wishes to do that.
Madam Chair, may I follow? Thank you. Understood. However, it's our decision. What we want to follow for CDC guidance or not, honestly, we make that decision in here. It could be more, it could be less. That's our call. And I want to go back to the point I've asked for and would like to have the chance to have a discussion and a debate about this and the Ledge Council for what we do, and ultimately maybe to be the exact same thing. I have no idea. But it's still a previous legislature's council that made the decision. This council has not made a decision and put our stamp of approval on it yet. And we would normally have a chance to do that. So all I'm trying to say for the committee or for the council is I would like to have the opportunity to debate this in council prior to approving a budget extension. And that's, I really can't say more about it. That's just the point for the record. So thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the
Senator Michiki and then Senator Stevens.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to clarify just from my years on Ledge Council that the previous Ledge Council to the current legislature has made many policies, and they stand until they're changed. And the question I have is, if there was a discussion and there were votes in this room to change the Beacon contract, whether we approve it tonight or not, the legislative council has the power to change what we're doing with the COVID mitigation policy. Is that correct or not?
Through the chair, Senator Michiki, that is correct.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevenson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and the President just took the words right out of my mouth. So, but let me say it once again. Legislative councils in the past create policies, and those policies remain until changed by another legislative council. So the policies made last year continue until changed. We can change them at any time, should we choose to. I hope we'd be very cautious of that, because we've been very successful in controlling COVID in this building through all of the things that we have been doing with Beacon. And I certainly want to say my great appreciation goes out to Ms. Geary for her efforts in getting us to the right place. Who knows what could have happened in this building if we had not had those policies in place? Who knows how many people could have contracted COVID? I have no idea. But my belief is that we've done a very good job so far. So again, you can disagree with anything in those policies, but those policies remain in effect until this council changes them.
Ron repeats, but Senator Reinbold, you had a question?
Basically, I just wanted to make sure that I let everybody know that I sent to the unofficial Senate President at the time on January 12th many concerns that I had with the policy, and I trusted him to get them changed and help get them changed. I am uncomfortable funding a budget when we have not reviewed the different policies, and I think out of protection of us now on Legislative Council, I need to get it on record that there's a form of liability that exists between employers and their employees. This is called vicarious liability. For it to apply, one party has responsibility for a third party, and the third party commits an unlawful action. An employer may be held liable for the actions of the employee if it is unlawful. For example, masks in regards to the violating constitutional rights.
Senator, I'm going to rule you out of order. These are not elements of the contract before us.
Okay. It actually.
They are not elements of the contract we are debating. You are speaking to.
Okay. Can I
legal
can I,
parameters that I do not believe are spoken to in this?
Okay. Can I clarify, please? I'll take the mask issue off. I'll take the mask issue off.
No, you're speaking to liability. And if our legal authority, our lawyer would like to speak to us about liability, that would be appropriate. What we are speaking to is the contract that Beacon has. I don't believe that it has a liability element for us to address.
Can I clarify, please? When you're isolating people and quarantining them,
Senator, I am going to rule you out.
That's a liability issue.
You're out of order.
That that was dated on March 12th.
Can I take a brief edit?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So just in response to Senator Stevens, that's actually what I'm, that was my point. I understand, I know this can get, sounds like there's been some pretty, you know, push it up meetings. All I'm asking for out of this, again, not talking policy, we have our ideas, and I know that's not what's before us, but we have ideas we think, for example, could make it more efficient, maybe a little better. So what I'm asking for is the chance to have that meeting and discussion before we approve the extension to the budget. So and I understand that Ledge Council has the policy and it stays in place till we change it. That's what I'm asking for, is a chance to do that and have a meeting with the council prior to approving the budget. So I just wanted to make that clarification. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Reinbold.
And budget does drive policy, and we have not reviewed the policy, and I do believe there are liability issues with facial recognition, PCRs.
You're out of order. Senator Stedman, can I call on Senator Stedman first? President Michiki.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I would actually like to request that perhaps you either put a group together or have a following meeting. And I'm okay. We have bills due beyond what we've appropriated from what we've already spent. I'm okay if we move forward approving this. But I do request that we gather as a group, either in a Ledge Council meeting or if you assign a task force to discuss the contract and perhaps a transition plan forward that everyone can understand. It's not a part of this, but I want to separate it out so we don't have to talk about the same thing all night. I think that's fair. I think some folks have different levels of acceptance of where we are, and I think that discussion should take place. So I am requesting that on the record. I think it'd be very fruitful for everyone in this group to participate in that exercise.
Senator, I will have my staff begin polling you tomorrow about the availability for your next legislative council meeting, where we will have that opportunity.
Thank you, Madam.
All right. Senator Stedman.
I think we need to stick to the agenda. Clearly, they need an increase in this appropriation. I support the increase in this. If the money isn't expensed, it's not expensed. We can change the policy anytime we want, but there's a majority of Ledge Council members that want to convene another meeting. We can have that discussion over the next couple of weeks and deal with it then. But tonight, we've got business in front of us, It's dinner time. I think we need to keep the meeting here on track. Those that don't support the appropriation request can vote no. Those that support it can vote yes. It's that simple.
Other members of the committee seeking the question has been called. The motion before us is to approve an Ms. Kiesel, will you restate the motion for us? Or would you like me?
I'm happy to
Senator Machicki, please restate the motion and then we'll go to a direct roll call vote.
I move that Legislative Council approve an amendment to the Beacon OHSS contract to extend the termination date to June 30, 2021, and to increase the original amount of the contract by $1.5 million with the intent that federal receipts cover the cost of the contract to the greatest extent possible.
That is the motion before us. Ms. Kiesel, please call the roll.
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
No.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
No.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
11 yeas, 3 nays.
11 yeas, 3 nays. The motion has been adopted. We have extended that contract. We have a second Beacon-related motion. This second motion is to amend the Beacon contract related to the vaccination services that we requested they conduct. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve an amendment to the Beacon OHSS contract to add to the list of services provided under contract the administration of the COVID-19 vaccine to all those eligible, as determined by the Executive Director in consultation with the Council Chair and legislative leadership, and that this amendment be made retroactive to January 25th, 2021.
I object.
Okay, would you like to speak to your objection?
I'd like to ask a question as well, but under emergency youth authorization, I just want to make sure we talked about this through Health and Social Services, and it went through unanimously, and we also did this on the Senate floor, that vaccines cannot be mandated, the mRNA under emergency use, and they also require informed consent. And I just like to make sure that as a contractor that you're fully aware of that and are complying with that.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes, we have followed the consent. We have the e-form consent, which is identical to the state of Alaska consent form, has all of the same protocols and provides the same documentation. And then the vaccinations were not mandated in any way, shape, or form. They were an invite, an invitation only to anyone who wished to participate.
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
And there's no anticipation of any mandating these in any way, correct?
That is correct.
One more question.
Not from Beacon's perspective. If that were to take place, that would be under other objectives.
Another question. Senator Reinbold.
Through the emergency youth authorization, you're aware that under EAU, you cannot mandate things.
Right. Beacon would not be mandating anything.
Okay. And do you know if the PCR test is under EUA?
The PCR lab-based test, as well as the Abbott ID now, have been federal approved, and they have been under EUA since the pandemic started.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Okay.
We are speaking to the vaccines only at this point, the vaccine element of the contract. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to know from Beacon how many vaccines you have given to date. I think it's remarkable what you have done. I've heard the numbers before, but I think they change every day. There are so many people in this building that have gotten their vaccines, both our employees as well as members of the legislature themselves, and it could have saved people untold hardship and illness. So can you tell me how many vaccines have been delivered in this building so far through you, through Beacon?
Yeah, since the effort started just a couple weeks ago, we've administered 240 first doses. And then we also, prior to that, facilitated for four additional individuals to receive second doses through a transfer from Bartlett. So we have to thank Search and Bartlett for their local support as well.
And I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I didn't hear the second doses.
We administered four second doses early on in the session, and then we have administered 240 first doses.
Thank you.
To date.
Thank you. Let's see if other members. Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I hadn't thought of this question until it came up with the motion the way it was read. As far as the other authority, not Beacon, just for the other authority, perhaps to Jessica or those on the council, and I don't remember the exact wording, but it was something to the effect of the executive authority and leadership, I'm paraphrasing, would make the policy. So for a point of clarification on the record, Beacon will obviously execute whatever policy we ask them to do. Is there, what authority is being handed to whoever that is, because I would have to ask it to be read again, I guess for lack of a better word, force a vaccine. I assume it is not able to be made mandatory, but I would like to know that on the record because there are people that would prefer not to take it. So what authority, if this passes, is being handed to whoever that might be able to make that decision? In other words, if I could say this more clearly, is voting on this going to provide the authority to a body or a person to require members of staff in the building or legislators to take a vaccine if they wish not to? I hope that's clear as a question to whoever that, and I'm not sure where that goes.
Ms. Geary.
Through the chair, Senator Schauer, so that authority was specifically related to who was eligible for the vaccine within the building. So there was discussions about the media, et cetera. So if this motion passes, it will in no way allow anybody to mandate the vaccine for anyone.
I apologize, Madam Chair. It was just a clarifying question based on how it was originally announced. So
I think
that is fine. That's just what I want to make sure on the record. There was no authority being handed over, and it's more clear. So thank you.
And let me just include that it included allowing members of the media who were accessing it, members of the executive branch who work in this building, i.e. the governor's staff, were able to access this via, so it was giving her the authority to extend it beyond just the elected staff.
I understand, Madam Chair. It's the way it was originally spoken, what I heard was something that sounded like it might hand decisions over, and that is perfectly clear now. So thank you.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm curious, you said you've given 240 first injections. Are you going to be able to facilitate the follow-up injection as well?
Yes, we will be able to administer all second doses to anyone that we provided first doses to.
Wonderful, thank you.
Representative Edgman.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question on behalf of a former Ledge Council member, Representative Drummond. And the question is, do we have any sense of how many people in total have been vaccinated, and who's keeping a running tally if we do know?
Ms. Geary.
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, I am keeping track of that for anybody that submits that information to me. Of course, they don't have to. There's no requirement to submit that information to me. It would just be a useful tool. So I'm planning to do an outreach for anyone that wants to provide that information, just for the purposes of tracking the number of vaccinated people in the building.
Representative Edgman, you had a follow-up?
So it would be tracking those who are vaccinated through the Beacon process and those who weren't. Is that what I'm hearing you saying? Because there's a few of us around the table here, for example, who got vaccinated independent of Beacon's efforts.
That's correct, Representative Edgman. I have the list from Beacon of everyone that was vaccinated through Beacon. I have a number of others that have let me know that they've been vaccinated. So I am keeping a comprehensive list, and Like I said, I'll be doing an outreach for anybody who wants to provide that, because I think that's the first step to sort of loosening up some of these policies, is getting people vaccinated within the building.
Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question that I have is similar to Representative Edgman's, but it's more precise. What is the number that we have to achieve in order to get herd immunity in this building? How many people do we have in the building? What percentage is herd immunity, and where are we in achieving that goal?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we actually had a great session with Dr. Zink and her team this morning. That question was asked. The specific response was something along the lines of, we don't know at this time, because with the new variants coming forth, and I think we have like four of the Brazil case in Alaska right now, and so I think it's a bit of an unknown. I would recommend, if you are able to participate in that meeting, there'll be a second session next Wednesday at, I believe it's 2:30. I think that would be a good opportunity to ask that question again, because they mentioned new advice is coming out from the CDC daily about those very items. So do you have anything to add?
Follow-up?
As a statement, you know, I think that the herd immunity is something that we should be achieving, trying to achieve, for the safety of all of the workers in this building, and in particular all of their family members as well, because if we have many young people in this building that are staffers, they go home at night to their family and friends, and by achieving herd immunity, I think we're giving greater protection to not only everybody in this building, but their family members as well.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Ms. Johnson, I sent you some questions earlier, and they don't all have to do with the vaccines, but thank you for answering them. They did have to do with the staff who is administering the testing, and the ones who are also being sure that the status of those who have been tested, that all of the people that fall into that contract that are Beacon contractual workers are all following the same guidelines as those of us in this building. And so my last question was the certification of those who are doing the testing, and you did answer that. Is that certification for who, the people who are administering the vaccines? Could you just run through that certification?
Yes, I can. So in alignance with Alaska state protocol and who can do vaccinations, you have to do a online vaccination course for COVID-19 vaccinations, which our team has administered and completed on record, as well as have a medical certification, and it's under the order of our medical director.
Thank you. You have a follow-up?
No, thank you.
Okay, Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Just briefly, I just want to thank Jessica Geary, the Ledge Council Beacon, for the professionalism of your employees. They're A number one in my book. And I thank you for being here and keeping these employees in this building safe, that we can come in here every day and do the people's business. So thank you.
Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for Beacon, and it may have come out, and I apologize, I might have missed it. And I know we can't ask if they're all, you know, have received the mRNA or not, but I am asking, I guess, more in an assumption that they are also available to get the treatment, and have, do you know if most of them have gotten it? And I ask it for this reason. I've had a number of folks express concern only from the fact that they are, you know, they're like a central point. Everybody's got to go through them, and so they see them, and if they catch it or they're not, you know, it can be an issue of, you know, not to say super spreader, but you know what I say, that those contact points, we have funnel areas where people are in. So are they eligible, and do you know if most, if not all of them, have received the treatments? Thanks, Madam Chair.
I want to just clarify and check that you don't perceive this to be a violation of HIPAA in asking that on the record.
It is not. I'm not going to speak specifically to any one individual. However, I will state that Beacon is in compliance with the policies that the Legislative Council has passed. We follow those and assure that we are leading by example from that perspective. We all wear medical grade masks as well and have been fit tested appropriately for those, as well as all individuals were eligible for the vaccine during a first tier due to being frontline response.
That was really my question, Madam Chair. Thank you. And I appreciate the clarification. I should have said that in there, so thanks.
Senator Reinbold.
Thank you. And I just want to make it clear that I'm definitely for the freedom to direct our own health care. And, you know, people want that vaccine, you know, let them get the vaccine. However, I did take an oath to the Constitution, and I want to ensure that I uphold that, you know, those constitutional rights for no privacy violations, et cetera. So HIPAA is very important to me, and I would, when we have the opportunity to talk about liability, I'd like to do that. But my question to you is, I had Division of Administration come before my committee, Judiciary Committee, and they stated that the liability lies with the person who actually injects the vaccine. Are you guys aware of that?
We are.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so in regards to if anybody does, God forbid, if anything negative happens to anybody that gets it, do you know where the liability?
Senator, I'm going to rule you out of order.
As a medical provider, we hold liability and have medical directorship in place and would not proceed with any services that were not appropriately covered.
So, a question?
You have a follow-up.
I do. So if anybody is injured, God forbid, what my question was where can they turn?
We have standing orders in place for providing any type of medical services, as well as local medical health care, in which we've partnered with here, as well as telemedicine support. And so everyone who receives the vaccine is advised that if they have any questions, please to call us back, and there is a medical line 24/7.
Thank you.
Senator Stedman.
Madam Chairman, I think it's time we wrap this meeting up. It's late. It's time for dinner. Let's move forward.
Question's been called. Senator Michicki, will you restate the motion?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve an amendment to the Beacon OHSS contract to add to the list of services provided under contract the administration of a COVID-19 vaccine to all those eligible, as determined by the Executive Director in consultation with the Council Chair and legislative leadership, and that this amendment be made retroactive to January 25th, 2021.
Ms. Kiesel, please call the roll.
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stoops.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Michicki.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
No.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
13 yeas, 1 nay.
13 yeas, 1 nay. The contract's been extended. I see nothing further to come before the committee, but I will remind you, we'll be polling you to see your availability for the next Ledge Council meeting. With that, we are adjourned at 6, got three different clocks in here, 6:20.